to Honduras, one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. Even before COVID and back-to-back hurricanes in 2020, nearly half the population lived in poverty. Add gang violence, migration, the challenges become even more profound, all of which takes a toll on that country's precarious public education system. During the pandemic, all schools closed completely, no online option. Think third graders who hadn't even started to read. Schools reopened this past August, but attendance remains low. Well, one not-for-profit is trying to change that, one book at a time. Here now is Karen Miller-Medzin, visited as schools were reopening and brought us this story.
Vamos a leer el título, como dice acá.
Jacqueline Avila Galindo is reading Carmen La Estrella to a group of second graders. She's a librarian at the Centro Educacion Besica Guatemala in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. The book is about a little girl who loves to sing and dance.
Carmen es toda una sensación.
This would be a pretty run-of-the-mill scene in the U.S., but here, it's revolutionary. In Honduras, only a third of students make it to high school. Parents often can't read. And kids' books are about as common, well, as the unicorns in that story. That's where the Chispa Project comes in. Its goal is to help schools, from the impoverished gang-ridden cities to the most inaccessible rural areas, start libraries.
A lot of our teachers have also never grown up with children's books.
That's Sarah Brackain, the American expat who founded Chispa.
So sometimes people from the United States ask me, well, what methodology are you using? And we say, honestly, the 3-2 method. Two fingers in the front, three fingers in the back, and this is how you hold up a book to show the pictures. Like, it's that basic.
You heard right. Many teachers have never seen a children's book or used one as a teaching tool, so there's also extensive training on how to engage in learning. The new goal?
To create or animate the creativity of students, the critical thinking of students. How do we stimulate those things? And a lot of that is just not second nature for our teachers because they didn't grow up with it and they didn't get it in teacher college because the college itself didn't expect that these teachers would have children's books in their schools.
Over 6 years, Chispa's staff has grown to half a dozen, all Honduran. They've distributed 43,000 books and put libraries into 78 schools. The program's funded entirely through donations. Jacqueline Galindo says the library's been a game changer, that in this cement-walled school with no flush toilets, the book-filled shelves and brightly painted walls make kids want to be there. Sarah Brackain is interpreting.
The kids can relax here. The books here often reflect things in their culture or in their that they see on TV. So Peppa the Pig, I was surprised that even some of the older grades would come in and be like, ah, Peppa. But then also they love animal books, especially dinosaur books. Some kids started telling me about the classifications of dinosaurs that there are and the types that there are and that they're extinct. And so then I looked up into a book and also read a book out loud to them about dinosaurs.
14-year-old Allison is excited about the graphic novel she's reading.
The main character has problems with another girl who's bullying her. But in the end, she just tries to be nice to the bully. So here, for example, it's a girl having to present to her class, and she's so nervous about it. So here she is, like, having to vomit, and she's so scared about vomiting.
The best part? She tells me the book is part of a series. Librarian Galindo says kids are also bringing the idea of literacy home, something she encourages. And if there aren't books at home, she tells them to read the Bible or road signs. She tells them that if they can read, people won't be able to take advantage of them. Bernardo Gutierrez, the school principal, says the library brings him a mix of pride and relief, since many of the families struggle to provide their kids with a home, food, or medicine, let alone books.
So this library does provide an escape from those outside things. But truly, these problems that we face in our daily lives are things that have marked us forever as Hondurans.
Those realities create challenges for Chispa, where Glenn Miralda is educational coordinator. He's determined to give kids what he didn't have when he attended the same schools a decade ago. He talks about the weary buildings, lack of public investment, and gangs.
La violencia siempre ha estado.
The violence has always been a major part of our country's history, but in the past several years, it has increased. So families are obligated to leave and, of course, take their families and things with them. So in some zones, gangs control the school. They even sometimes enter the school in the middle of the school day. And so this is the root of then a bigger problem with education is the violence.
Meralda says children are sometimes recruited by gangs to carry drugs.
Se le llama banderas aquí.
They call them banderas, so this small informant that can run around kind of unnoticed. Even a whole zone, a whole neighborhood can be controlled by a gang. And by control, I mean who comes into the neighborhood, who goes out. The gang itself might cancel classes one day because something's going down in the neighborhood. Some of the students themselves are kids of gang members. And of course, those kids have to be accepted into the school, even though the teachers might know who they are. Gang members can control what kind of grades their kids get. This is how gangs control or affect the schools.
I asked Meralda how the library project navigates a school controlled by gang members.
Puede pasar y tal vez no lo sepamos.
So a lot of times it's very internal. We may not even know some of the things that are happening between the authorities and some of the gang members. A school director might call to make sure that we're able to get through that day. And yes, it's risky, but it's complicated.
Risky for who?
¿Quién tiene el riesgo?
Nosotros.
For us.
And it's worth the risk?
¿Vale la pena?
Realmente sí.
Truly, yes.
There are other hurdles as well, like getting books to rural areas where roads are often washed out, and where there might be no cell service or electricity. The workaround? Think Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, except in this case, it's a series of backpacks. Dunya Estrada is Chispa's technical coordinator and the architect behind a very simple idea.
Esto consiste en que ponemos una cantidad de libros,
putting a group of books in a backpack and giving a backpack to every teacher in a school district.
The schools might have as few as 20 kids in a single multi-grade classroom and could be separated by 20 or more miles.
And so those teachers will then rotate or exchange their backpacks every 2 weeks to a month. And this is how, for example, in one of our school systems, we've been able to get 800 different books to over 500 students. And that's why we call it a traveling library.
On the other side of Tegucigalpa, in another disadvantaged neighborhood, we visit the Centro Educativo de China, where Principal Ana Joaquina tells us we just missed the Department of Education, visiting the school to find out more about its library and teaching methods. Word is spreading. Among the reasons, Joaquina says, is that the libraries help keep kids in school.
It's important to tell you that what we've captured here is that kids don't want to leave. One mother just explained to me why she finally had to pull her kids out of school just recently. Because of her economic situation, she had to move, and to bring her kids all the way to the school was very difficult. But she tried to do it for several months because of the library space, because of all the opportunities.
Just then, 11-year-old Nazareth Pereira wanders into the library, something she says she does when classes get boring. Her new passion? Planets. She pulls her favorite space book off the shelf. I ask her if she read much before the library arrived.
No,
she says. I didn't read because we don't have books at my house. We leave the school, wending our way through the sprawling city, back to the Chispa office. From the outside, a tidy little house. Inside, 120 unpacked boxes piled high in the living room. Chispa founder Sarah Brackane says the boxes hold about 6,000 titles. The walls are lined with shelves of board books, picture books, chapter books, and the kitchen table? It's buried under books, too. But who will get them? Well, that can be complicated.
It is a hard thing to decide because none of these schools necessarily deserves these books more than another. Our waiting list can be 2 to 3 years. And we're completing about 10 a year. A library that might benefit around 700 kids can cost around $15,000.
What's your ultimate goal with the project? Is there a next, or is next just continuing to do what you're doing?
In English, there's that story about the person that throws back the stranded starfish that have landed on the beach. And they say, well, that's one that cared. And in Spanish, they say a grain of sand, you know, to like build a sandcastle. So we are going to keep fighting to put our grain of sand. And in Spanish, chispa, from Chispa Project, means spark. And here in Spanish, chispa is used to talk about the spark from a fire or the chocolate chips, chispas, that you put in a cookie. But also it's used to describe a person. So someone having chispa means that they're a person that's going to go out and do bigger things, that they have the excitement for life. And we know that our kids have that. And there's not an ultimate goal. There's maybe not an end in sight. But this is our grain of sand. And we're going to fight for that.
For Here and Now, I'm Karen Miller-Medson.